From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia encourages IPF Day Forum to create peaceful Pacific region. IPF Day results in Bali message. And here is the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi stated in Bali on Wednesday that the Indonesia-Pacific Forum for Development, or IPFD, meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali is a manifestation of Indonesia's commitment to increasing development cooperation with Pacific countries. In her opening speech at the IPFD meeting, delivered virtually, she conveyed that she had encouraged many things to become the focus of the discussion. First, the IPFD must ensure that the Pacific region is a peaceful, stable, and prosperous region.
Dan untuk mencapai ini, kita harus memajukan strategic trust dan spirit.
To achieve this, we must promote strategic trust and spirit of collaboration. The principles of international law, including respect for sovereignty and territorial integrity, must be upheld. I also invite all parties to join the build a strong and inclusive regional architecture. The Pacific must be an integral part of a peaceful, stable, and prosperous Indo-Pacific region.
Dari kawasan Indo-Pasifik yang damai, stabil, dan sejahtera.
Meanwhile, the second thing that is highlighted is the importance of building concrete cooperation. Minister Retno also pointed out that with this step, IPFD can materialize cooperation, which may provide benefits for the people of all countries in the Pacific.
Kita selalu memajukan kerjasama, tidak hanya komitmen politik, tetapi juga kerjasama yang
konkret. We always promote cooperation, not only political commitment, but also concrete cooperation. Thus, we can't just talk. We must do what we say. What I mentioned earlier is walk the talk, and this requires a strong commitment. Only this way, we can materialize cooperation that provides benefits for the people of all countries in the Pacific. We can start from issues of common interests, such as food security, climate change, and disaster risk reduction. Moreover, Minister Retno gave her other concerns, such as the importance of creating a comprehensive and inclusive development platform. She also noted that IPFD can connect Pacific countries with development partners in the region and outside the region. The IPFD meeting was held in Bali from December the 7th until the 8th, 2022, and it was attended by 17 countries and territories from the Pacific, 4 sub-regional, regional, and multilateral organizations, and 5 invited countries. It was also attended by the Prime Minister Niu and 6 ministers from Australia, Cook Islands, Micronesia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, and Timor Leste, as well as 1 deputy minister from Tonga. The IPFD meeting raised the theme Grow and Prosper Together, with main issues being discussed, namely economic development and human resource development. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi pointed out that The Indonesia Pacific Forum for Development or IPFD meeting resulted in the Bali message on development cooperation in the Pacific. In her statement delivered virtually conveyed that the Bali message contains commitments of Indonesia and the Pacific countries to enhance partnerships.
Bali message juga meneguhkan komitmen Indonesia.
Bali message also reinforces Indonesia's commitment to concretely implementing the vision of Pacific elevation through more intensive technical assistance and development assistance. Furthermore, Minister Retno have explained several programs that have been implemented, such as in the fields of security and health. She also has said Indonesia will also increase the provision of scholarship for students from Pacific countries. Minister Retno reaffirmed that Indonesia would continue to approach and invite other countries to work together in the context of strengthening partnerships with Pacific countries. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno stated that 3.92 million foreign tourist visits to Indonesia were recorded until October 2022. As quoted by Antara, Minister Uno noted in an official statement on Wednesday that the figure exceeds the target of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia this year, that ranges from 1.8 million to 3.6 million people. He also remarked that this achievement demonstrated that foreign tourists' trust in Indonesian tourism had increased. He added that currently Australia is no longer ranked first as a country with the most visits to Indonesia. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir echoed the commitment of the SOEs to function as off-takers of staple foods in a bid to anticipate the next year's crisis. His side is ready to become off-takers of staple goods next year. However, the condition is that it needs to be backed up by a clear assignment from the government for the enterprises to adopt the off-taker function. This was pointed out by Minister Thohir in his statement received by Antara on Wednesday. He also remarked that this assignment is deemed necessary so that these leaders would have no doubts in fulfilling the off-taker function and neither would they be concerned about allegations that would be leveled against them. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said the threat of a nuclear war was rising but insisted Russia has not gone mad and would not use its nuclear weapons first. As quoted by BBC.com, the Russian president insisted that his country would only use weapons of mass destruction in response to an attack. Speaking at Russia's annual Human Rights Council meeting, he also said the war in Ukraine could be a lengthy process. Western officials believe Putin initially planned for a rapid victory. Russia's capacity to use nuclear weapons has come under increased scrutiny since it invaded Ukraine in February. Peru has a female president, Dina Boluarte, for the first time after ex-president Pedro Castillo was impeached hours after he tried to dissolve parliament. As reported by BBC.com, Dina Boluarte, previously the vice president, was sworn in after a dramatic day in Lima on Wednesday. Earlier in the day, Mr. Castillo had said he was replacing Congress with an exceptional emergency government, but lawmakers ignored this and in an emergency meeting impeached him. He was then detained and accused of rebellion. The United States Congress is expected to start voting as soon as Wednesday on a massive military policy bill, including authorization of up to $10 billion in security assistance and fast-track weapons procurement for Taiwan as China exerts pressure on the democratically governed islands. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the compromised version of the annual National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, doesn't include some controversial provisions of Taiwan legislation lawmakers proposed earlier this year, including sanctions in the event of significant escalation in aggression against Taiwan by China or a proposal that Taiwan be treated as major non-NATO ally. And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights Indonesia Investment and Networking Forum. Listeners, the Indonesian Consulate General in Hong Kong, supported by the Indonesian Embassy in Beijing and the Ministry of Investment, Investment Coordinating Board, has held an Indonesian investment promotion activity entitled Indonesia Investment and Networking Forum in Hong Kong on 3rd December 2022. The implementation of the Investment Forum aims to strengthen and advance Indonesia-Hong Kong economic relations, especially investment, as well as supporting efforts to recover the national economy post-COVID-19 pandemic. Indonesian Ambassador to the People's Republic of China, Jauhari Oratmangun, before Hong Kong business people and investors, emphasized that now it is the best time to improve and develop business in Indonesia. He explained that the investment opportunities offered by Indonesia include plans for the archipelago capital with a green city concept, downstream mineral resources, development of lithium batteries, transportation, renewable energy, and reduction of carbon emissions, health infrastructure, and digital transformation, while still paying attention to the principle of using local workforce environmentally friendly, added value, and technology transfer commitment. Meanwhile, the Consul General of Hong Kong, Ricky Suhandar, reiterated the Indonesian government's commitment to continuing its agenda of structural reform, deregulation and investment debureaucratization. The government of Indonesia will continue to oversee effort to ensure legal certainty and increase the ease of doing business and investment in Indonesia. The investment opportunities offered by Indonesia, as stated by the ambassador, of course, is oriented specially to Hong Kong as the second largest investor in Indonesia. Deputy Investment Promotion of the Investment Coordinating Board, Nurul Ikhwan, who was present virtually, expressed various investment facilities in Indonesia, including various tax holiday schemes that investors can enjoy and priority investment sectors that have added value. There are also various investment opportunities in the new national capital, such as basic infrastructure, energy development, transportation, education, and renewable energy. Several potential investors immediately expressed their interest in following up with the Indonesian Consulate in Hong Kong and investment officers at the Indonesian Embassy in Beijing. That's Diplomatic Corner.
Listener, we start today in history with 8 December 1941 when the United States declared war to Japan. On 8 December 1941, the United States Congress declared war on the Empire of Japan in response to that country's sudden attack on Pearl Harbor a day before. Then the U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt addressed U.S. Congress and declared the day of the attack as a day to be remembered as an abomination. Within an hour after the speech was delivered, the U.S. Congress issued a formal declaration that stating war on Japan. Oh. Let's turn to 8 December 1965, the birth of the Indonesian human rights activist Munir. Munir is an Indonesian human rights activist. He was involved in handling and advocating for several cases of human rights violations in Indonesia during the reign of President Suharto. He is one of the founders of the non-governmental organization Commission for Missing Persons and Victims of Violence or CONTRAS and Impartial. While on board Garuda Indonesia Flight 974 from Jakarta to Amsterdam on 7th September 2004, he was poisoned with arsenic. He was the winner of the Right Livelihood Award in 2000, along with three other people. We end Today in History with December 8, 1980, the death of John Lennon. John Winston Lennon was a singer, song composer, instrumentalist, writer, and peace activist. He is also known as a member of the Beatles. On 8 December 1980, he was shot by his fan Mark David Chapman outside his apartment in New York. John Lennon was hurriedly taken to the hospital and declared dead at the age of 40. David Chapman was then sentenced to 25 years in prison. Well, listener, that's Today in History.
Forever you've been mine. You've been mine. Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voicenews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia highlights Indonesian Meteorology Agency invites the global community to build warning system for tropical cyclone. The head of the Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency, Dwi Korita Karnawati, has invited the global community to jointly develop an early reliable warning system for tropical cyclones. In a statement on December 7, 2022, she said that this is important to prevent bigger material and non-material loss due to the tropical cyclone, mainly in areas affected by tropical cyclones. In the 10th World Meteorological Organization, or WMO, International Workshop on Tropical Cyclones, IWTC-10, in Bali on Tuesday, Dwi Korita also mentioned that a tropical cyclone is an atmospheric phenomenon that causes a great impact in places it passes. The impact can include strong wind, heavy downpour for hours or days that can cause flood surge and storm surge. This can cause material loss and casualties. Therefore, a reliable and accurate warning system for tropical cyclones can be done to reduce a tropical cyclone impact risk. According to Dwi Korita, a strong early warning system can be developed with technology modernization and a proper analysis and prediction method. It is expected that the data will have a high accuracy so that it can strengthen anticipation and early action in preventing the disaster impact. Dwi Korita further said that the use of artificial intelligence in tropical cyclone prediction and early warning is expected to help in reducing the risk of tropical cyclone impact. However, the implementation must be done properly and justly, considering the increase in tropical cyclone incidents potentially shows an increase both in frequency and intensity. Dwi Korita hopes that the International Workshop on Tropical Cyclones, initiated in early 1980s, can be a bridge for communication, cooperation, and collaboration between nations in strengthening the early warning system for tropical cyclones. Well, listener, that's My Indonesia.
I could stick around and get along with you. You know that I'll be with you if I could. I'll come around and see you once in a while, or if I ever need a reason to smile. Secure. Let me show you life. you're so fine, being on my mind. Get nervous every time, and I can barely make a sound. Whenever you're around, you're so fine, being on my mind. Get nervous every time, and I can barely make a sound. Whenever you're around, every now and then I'm insecure. Let me show you life can be so pure.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy has confirmed that the Taman Langit Gunung Banyak of Batu City is a shelter tourism or temporary evacuation site in the event of natural disaster. Shelter tourism itself is a relatively new tourism concept. The government sees the potential that can be developed in the tourism sector. So, the area not only gains economic benefit as a tourism destination, but also can function as a temporary or final evacuation site. As a tourism destination, Taman Langit Gunung Banyak offers amazing nature with various contemporary photo spots. Taman Langit Gunung Banyak is located in Batu City, Malang, East Java. From Batu City Square, it can be reached within 23 minutes by motor vehicles. To enter this tourism destination, you have to pay a ticket of 10,000 rupiah per person. The concept of this park depicts the seven lights of the human chakra or angels. Therefore, this tourism spot is decorated with two winged female statues as depiction of the angels. There are also three other statues, namely Angsa Wahana, Brahma, Garuda Wahana Wisnu, and Singa Wahana Shiva. All of them are images of God's manifestation as creator, preserver, and recycler. This tourism destination offers various photo locations with a backdrop of Mount Banyak, such as at Negeri Dongeng, Ranjang Rumput, Angsa Putih Raksasa, Putri Bersayap, and a unique sarang burung. Everything can be tried. Tourists who come can take selfies and relax while enjoying the cool air. After being satisfied with taking selfies, visitors can eat food at the cafe while enjoying the cool air in the morning and seeing the view of Batu City and Punjon City from the top of Mount Banyak. To get good photos, it's better to come in the morning. If you want to spend the night, you can directly book accommodation in the tourism area. Lodging for families can be found at the Gado Pantau. If you are with your partner, you can book at Lavender Villa. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Lembaran foto hitam putih, aku coba ingat lagi warna bajumu kala itu. Kali pertama di hidupku, manusia lain memelukku. Lembaran foto hitam putih, aku coba ingat lagi wangi rumah di sore itu. Kue coklat balon menawani pesta hari ulang tahunku. Dimanapun kalian berada, ku kirimkan terima kasih untuk kenangan indah. Kau melukis aku. Lembaran foto hitam putih, kembali teringat malam. Ku hitung-hitung bintang saat mataku sulit tidur. Suaramu buatku lelap. Dimanapun kalian berada, ku kirimkan terima kasih untuk warna dalam hidupku dan banyak kenangan indah. Kau melukis aku. Ini lagu untukmu,
ungkapan terima kasihku. Lembar monokrom hitam putih, aku coba ingat warna demi warna di hidupku. Takkan ku mengenal cinta bila bukan karena hati baikmu.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today has a topic, Langit Park area of Mount Banyak, Batu City, as tourism shelter. Listeners, Director of Destination Management at the Ministry of Tourism, Economy and Creative, Indra Nitwa, in Batu East Java last Thursday, said that Indonesia is located in the Ring of Fire or an area surrounded by volcanoes, so it is prone to natural disasters. But the existence of volcano also presents beautiful natural scenery, and it becomes a tourism attraction. Indonesia is also a country that has the third largest tropical rainforest in the world, after Congo and Brazil. According to Indra, this condition makes Indonesia be prepared if one day it is faced with a disaster. But in preparation, it is used for tourism activities. When a disaster occurs, tourism activities become the spearhead of disaster emergency management. So, the shelter tourism concept has been created for Indonesian tourism. Shelter tourism itself is a relatively new tourism concept. The government sees potential that can be developed in the tourism sector so that an area not only gains economic benefit as a tourism destination, but also functions as a temporary or final evacuation site. The Ministry of Tourism, Economy and Creative determine Langit Park area of Mount Banyak, Batu City as tourism shelter or a temporary evacuation site if a natural disaster occurs. The determination of Langit Park of Mount Banyak is also projected to be able to attract potential investors to invest in developing better shelter tourism in the future. Meanwhile, Minister's Expert Staff for Crisis Management of the Ministry, Fajar Hutomo, said that the determination of the Mount Banyak area as tourism shelter is the embodiment of tourism crisis management in destinations. He perceived that this tourism awareness group needs to be expanded not only into a tourism-aware community group, but also a disaster response group. This is a form of community-based crisis management. Acting Director of Disaster Risk Mapping and Evaluation National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Edi Suryawan Purba, added that this activity is concrete action following the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding carried out by both of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency and the Ministry of Tourism, Economy and Creative. Shelter tourism is a good step for disaster mitigation in tourism sector. That's Ms. Seleni.
Melangkah sendiri, seringkali kau melihat kanan kiri, semua menyuruh untuk berlari. We just slow down. Kuaku berdiri, tak ada yang peduli kau sakit hati. Berhenti atur nafas sendiri. We just slow down.
Damn son, harus lebih tenang and take time. Harus pikir panjang, masalah ada untuk dilawan. Coba fokus, buka mata, lihat peluang.
Buka mata, lihat dirimu, tak masalah, gapai mimpimu.
I stick to the plan, and I don't give a damn. No need to worry, we gonna be, we gonna be alright.
Sometimes it needs to slow.
Dengan cara baru lah, lu yang berlalu biar jadi masalah, lu yang negatif biar jadi yang elak, lu
ayo jong.
Freeze, harus lebih dingin. Peace, tolong didamain. Oh, cheers, tolong dituangin. Lebih santai dikit, kalau panas harus cooling down.
Buka mata, lihat dirimu, tak masalah, gapai mimpi.
Stick to the plan. Don't worry, we gonna be alright.
Sometimes I need to slow.
Jangan goyang, harus siap ambil papan. Bila mereka tetap tenang, ku tetap maju ke depan.
Hey, I don't give a damn. We gon' be alright. Sometimes we need to slow.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, we are going to present you a song by a musical group from Bandung, Kahitna. Kahitna was founded on June 24, 1986. Currently, the group initiated by Yovie Widianto consists of three vocalists, namely Carlo Saba, Hedi Yunus, and Mario Ginanjar. Their music is a mix of jazz, pop, fusion, Latin, and ethnic. The theme is always about love with a romantic lyric. It's just like the song Cerita Cinta or Love Story. This song is about a love story between two people who met, fell in love, and decided to get together. Well, listener, here is Cerita Cinta by Kahitna.
seakan bercanda.
Indonesia.
Berteman sepi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Waktu ku genggam tangannya, serasa hati tergoda. Ku coba tanya sendiri, engkaukah permaisuriku? Mungkinkah mata hatinya
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.